Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning. We welcome you on this fifth Sunday of Easter. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. Good morning, Bishop. How are you?
Very well.
We ask you now, Bishop, if you would please proclaim today's gospel.
This is the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and everyone that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The image of the vine, a very familiar one, and it serves as a metaphor of how we can abide in the risen Christ. We also are reminded of how God's good works can be done through us when we are guided to bear much fruit, as St. John tells us.
Yes, first thing that struck me in preparing for today was that all creation is created through him, through Jesus. So even speaking of these nature symbols, the vine, the branches, the olive trees, all those metaphors, the sheep and the shepherd, and they're really so familiar to Jesus, not just because he walked in those areas where these things are so prominent, but everything, all creation is created through Jesus Christ. So he's really speaking something that's very close to his own existence and life. But this one in particular, I think, is familiar to all of us, but it's also very meaningful and close to all of us. But I think it has to almost be taken line by line, because there's so much in here packed into these eight verses that can help us. I was also reviewing, I lived in Italy for a total of 8 years, and it's certainly common everywhere you go, north to south, the different vineyards that you see mm-hmm. along the side mm-hmm. of a mountain, in the backyard, and you see the different seasons that they go through. And so in the first part of the reading today, it says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father prunes. The Father is the vine grower, and he's the one that prunes it. Vines have to be pruned. In fact, during the winter, they hardly exist. You just see sticks. But the vine growers are out there with their snippers, and they're pruning all the dead branches. So it's a very real image that Jesus gives there. And so I think it's also translating into our own life that if we're not bearing fruit, the Father is going to wake us up. Right. Pruning is a process of giving new life and reawakening in the vine, in the vines, what the branches can bear. And so I think we need to keep that in mind, that Jesus is not just speaking in abstract terms. He's applying what happens in nature to us. And so if we're asleep, There are moments in our life that we're being pruned, and sometimes we'll say, well, I'm being punished, I'm being, ignored by God. But no, he's pruning us. And I mm-hmm. think this is the joy and the beauty of living the Christian life. He's pruning us in every moment, in every circumstance, if we have, this is what faith is all about, to have the faith that to see that the hand of God is at work in everything.
Bishop, this reminds me of the many trials we sometimes face as a community, whether it is facing droughts or other challenges in terms of progress and growth. These can often be viewed as limitations or constrictions, but instead, they lead to new growth over time and possibly leading in a new direction.
So what is the pruning process? It's not with snippers. If we look at the next verses, you are already pruned because of the word that I spoke you. Living the word of God, which is our duty, which is our life, which is our joy in the Christian life, to live what Jesus said, is what prunes us. Because what does it take away from us? To live the word of God, which is absolute truth, which is absolute joy, which is absolute love, prunes the old person. St. Paul used to speak of the old man and the new man. So one who is rooted in God's word and tries to make that real in their life has to turn away from, or naturally turns away from, what is wrong, evil, that is not love, that is not merciful. So St. Paul speaks of this beautifully in the book of the Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit as opposed to fruits of the flesh. The fruits of the flesh, of course, are impurity and all these kind of things that taking advantage of people, being angry, hatred, and all these kind of things that are part of the flesh, the way of life, without the gospel. The fruit of the gospel, which is given to us by the Spirit, is joy and peace and generosity and self-control. This is the pruning that takes place when we really are connected and live in, dwell in Jesus. We take the other path. So that's why Jesus says here, if his word is alive in us, we're already pruned. So, you know, we even see with faith that the difficulties we go through are part of the word of God. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you, for example. So there's always a negative but a positive in every word of God. That's another discourse for another time. That is, it's what it's, the pruning happens by the word of God. The result of remaining, he goes on to say, whoever remains in me, which means remains in my word, which means to live it out in the simplest of circumstances, in the little things, as St. Teresa of Lisieux would say, in the smallest of things, will bear fruit. I was reminded just yesterday by one of the priests. We were talking at night, and he was speaking of that last moment in toward the end of St. Teresa's life. She recognized, and of course, many of us who look as sisters living in a convent would not think this, but I mean, it's a family. So there was one sister who didn't like her, maybe because of jealousy or whatever. But St. Teresa writes that she had a sister that in the convent that didn't like her, but she knew she had to love her. And so that's the fruit that the word bears, because the word says, if you only love those who love you, what good is that? Any sinner can do that. We're called to a higher standard. And so the word living inspires in us action toward our neighbor and toward God that normally we would ignore or take another route, which would be our death, spiritual death. But we've come to life, to live a new life through the word. So Jesus says, whoever remains in me, in other words, remains in my word, I will be in him, and he or she will bear much fruit, because without me, you can do nothing. In other words, without God's word, it's going to be really tough, if not impossible, to love an enemy, to turn the other cheek, to go the extra mile, to give your coat when they only ask for this, to do that extra, that more. That takes the grace of God's word, Jesus living in us, through the action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will give you an advocate who will remind you of all that I have said to you and will be your courage and your strength to fulfill it. And so then finally, the other thing I think is beautiful, at the end of this these eight verses, if you remain in me and my word remains in you. In other words, you really become grafted onto the vine, that the branch, each one of us, grafted into this flowing life, which comes from the word and the sacraments, to live in that milieu, you say, I would say, but also the flowing grace that comes through that, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Now, that doesn't mean going through a convenience line and ordering through the microphone and getting it, you know, within 3 seconds at the window. It doesn't mean that. It could be 10 years. But if you look at your life and if you really in faith asked for something, even as a child, I used to say this when I would work with seminarians in the seminary, they would kind of be marveled that something was going on in their life, and I would stop them and say, did you ever ask for that? They would think, well, maybe 10 years ago. Okay. Every prayer is answered. If it's really done in faith as a disciple of Jesus, as a branch on the vine, it will be done for you. And that's the confidence that we have as we live life. So this gospel to me is always exciting. There's so much there, and there's so much to say to us today to really recognize the faith that God wants us to have, the beauty of that faith, the excitement of that faith, and the glorious nature of faith, to not just live this life in the natural sphere, but to live it also in the spiritual sphere and to bring life to others.
And we are led to green pastures. We see the fruits of our labor and the results of continued faith. And that is so encouraging and comforting. And Bishop, as I prepared for today's program, I saw a word that I was not familiar with. Joannine. Could you share with us what that means?
Well, the Joannine is John, the writings of John. So Joannine corpus, they would call it, are the writings of St. John, the evangelist. So it refers to the Gospel of John and the first, second, and third letters of St. John that you find in the the epistles. So those four things, the Gospel and the three epistles of John, are the Joannine corpus, meaning that they were written by John.
Thank you, Bishop, for that explanation. And when we come back, we're going to hear about a very special Q&A session that you had recently with some young people in our diocese. Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
This is Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View, reflecting on an exchange that Bishop Mulvey had with some students at Texas A&M University Corpus Christi at the Newman Center. Some thought-provoking questions.
Yeah, and I think the theme that for me that always guides these responses is what Pope Benedict always said our faith is not about rules and regulations, and we have those, but that it's an encounter with mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, and that's all about being the good shepherd, encountering Jesus Christ and his voice. To me, is the loudest voice is always the gospel.
Amen.
Jesus is the word of God made incarnate to speak to us, to guide us. So one of the questions was about returning to God, you know, when you, for whatever reason, and after, there was no explanation, but, you know, when you kind of lost contact with God, how do you come back? Mm-hmm. And immediately what popped in my mind was, of course, the prodigal son and the forgiving father. And it was a beautiful conversation that just kind of flowed, and with them listening and asking more questions. But that the father ran to the son, mm-hmm. you know, with a coat, with a cloak and a ring and all these things, and was excited. And I said, you know, when we think about that, and I'm saying that to all of us today, if we have something in our life, we feel like we've not been close to God, God's not close to that. This is why Jesus told those parables, because his word explains who God is, and his life explains who God is. So when he tells the story of the merciful father and the prodigal son, when he shows how the father came to the son,
that says something to mm-hmm. us. So I just said to this first person, I said, you know, whatever it is, don't wait. Mm-hmm. You know, like the son waited a little bit and then he said, no, I got to go back.
Right.
But that's an instantaneous response to all of us when we feel that maybe we've been less faithful to God or we've not been close to him in prayer. Go back. Mm-hmm. And I said, the marvel of that is that you're going back, but he's running faster to you.
Right.
And we have to imagine that, not just in a kind of a fable kind of way, but in a reality, that God is running at us every day.
Right.
He wants us. Well, I did this. You know, if you look at even the Old Testament, it says he cast your sins and what's red becomes white. I mean, mm. he wants us. And that's the excitement of that he wants us. And so that's the Good Shepherd saying to us today, look at this parable. If you're in that condition, that situation where you feel far away, you feel lost, run. Mm-hmm. And you make sure you hold out your arms because he may run past you. He's so excited to
right.
find you. You know?
Right, right.
Just to make it kind of realistic. But he's there. And that's reality. Mm-hmm. That is, and that's something else that came up, that this is real. This is not just something I have to think about. It's real. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of us have those moments. We just want to, turn back to him. Mm-hmm. Another question was some elements of prayer. You know, what's prayer like for you? And of course, that's all personal mm-hmm. to all of us. But you know, I told, of course, the normal things that we would do to say prayers. But I said, you know, there's every once in a while we just have to stop. And that's when prayer really begins, when we can just stop and speak to Jesus inside. So many of the saints have spoken about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. St. Teresa of Avila, for one, that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, I'm sorry, lives in us, Father, Son, and Spirit, God in his whole, in the wholeness of God, lives inside of each one of us. And to be distracted by many things, these voices that the gospel speaks about today, we can't hear. And it's absolutely necessary that silence be a part of our daily life, mm-hmm. be a part of our prayer, the essence, really, of our prayer, because all that we do in preparation, whether it's meditation, praying the rosary, all those beautiful things that we have, at a certain point have to be silenced.
Right.
And to let God speak to us and to be with us. And one of them said, I never thought of prayer as letting God speak to me. It's always trying to speak to him.
Right.
But it's a dialogue. And that's why this thing of the voice, hearing the voice and being sure that that is the voice.
Mm-hmm. And not the voice of strangers.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And you'll know. And that was the other question then. How do you know
right.
that that's the voice? How uh-huh. do you know that he's speaking to you with that voice? And that's something I said, you know, with time you have to learn. Because we have to be faithful first. Mm-hmm. So you don't just walk in to, a strange place or with strange people and all of a sudden you feel connected. No, you feel absolutely frightened. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to meet this person, how to make that person, how to, you know, act the way, you know, you're supposed to. I'm thinking of different big places like right. the Waldorf Astoria. You just don't walk in like a, you know, like you're coming off the ranch or something. You know, this
right. You have to make adjustments.
Yeah, you adjust. Yeah. So even with God, I mean, you have to get used to that. Mm-hmm. So it is about praying. It is about spending time. It's about maybe going to adoration. And I've had many people say, well, what do I do? And I go, nothing.
Right.
That's the time just to sit there. And the more you get used to that, plus reading his words in the gospel, and that's why we do the Word of Life and talk about the gospel every Sunday, the more you do that, you attune yourself to his voice. And so something may happen in a certain moment in the day, and you pause and you went, my goodness, that's the voice of Jesus speaking to me. You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were struggling with a relationship with somebody and they're a neighbor. And the person said that the delivery truck brought a gift for the neighbor, but mm-hmm. they dropped it off at their house and uh-huh. they haven't spoken in a while.
Oh, okay.
And so how the person kind of maneuvered to get the package to them. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? If I'd had that for me, I would have seen that Jesus speaking to me. Okay, mm-hmm. here's a package. you go deliver it to them.
Right.
You know, and you feel that strongly enough that that's his way of saying, you can go be reconciled, and I'm giving you this package to use as an entry to the door.
As the bridge.
As the bridge to get in and say, hello, right. I'm sorry, whatever it is. But these are the kind of things, these little signs, something like that, come up, and we really need to take advantage of that. And so that's what we have to be recollected all the time. Mm-hmm. That word, that voice of Jesus has to be there all the time. If I do want to be reconciled with someone, look for the ways. Mm-hmm. A strange package coming from a delivery company says, okay, now you go take it.
Right, right. You take that action, take that initiative, and Jesus leads us to the right destination.
Yeah, I might be afraid to knock on the door. Well, now you got an excuse to go knock
right,
on the door.
But right, right.
That's just the way that the Lord speaks to us in mm-hmm. so many different ways.
Right.
So. Yeah, another one was they asked me what was my favorite parable or, you know, the gospel or story mm-hmm. in the gospels. And I said, well, it had to be the parable of the road to Emmaus, mm-hmm. the disciples on the road to Emmaus, because there's so many dimensions to that. Just the fact that Jesus walked with those two disciples and he entered into their life, into their situation. They were confused. And so he acted confused. It wasn't a funny thing. Like mm-hmm. I'm trying to tease them. Like,
right.
What are you talking about?
You know? Right.
It was he acted confused as they were confused. What, you know, let me join your confusion. When you think about that in our life, sometimes we think we have to get ourselves perfect before we can talk to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus made himself imperfect by becoming man. Although he was God, he emptied himself and became a human.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you apply that theological theory, the incarnation, the Word became flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus, risen from the dead, in glory, again, stoops down to add his, to become confused with these two disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And that way he could get to know them. I said, you know, there's so many times that we may feel we have done something wrong or that we don't know what to do. And we never think about, well, let me check with the guy walking with me.
Right.
Just imagine he's always there. And mm-hmm. I mean, the young people, and I was kind of amazed by some of their reactions too, but that this is so real. I mean, and it's the voice of Jesus is so present.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be attentive to it. So I think this gospel today is really saying, you know, wake up, smell the roses, or take the wax out of your ears and listen, or,
right.
or stop blocking your heart and listen to the Word, because it's always there in every situation. So, that parable of the disciples on the road to Emmaus has so much vivid life that can really help us in everyday situation and bring us, you know, to a spirit of prayer. And so I think at the end of this gospel then, Noel, let me tell you a couple more things. Mm-hmm. So what's your best ice cream? Favorite ice cream. That was one of them. I said, well, it's peppermint.
Uh-huh.
By the way, I can make a pretty good bowl of it, peppermint myself. Ice cream. If you had one last, that was another one. What if you had one last meal to eat, mm-hmm. what would it be?
Yeah.
And I said, well, living 8 years in Italy, it would be a bowl of pasta.
Pasta.
Carbonara. Carbonara. One of them said, what's that? So I told him it was bacon and eggs,
uh-huh.
and spaghetti.
And spaghetti.
Ooh,
that sounds good.
I'm going to go find one of those.
Huh? Right.
That was really kind of humorous too. But I think all of this, you know, comes to those last sentences that whoever comes through him, the mm-hmm. good shepherd, the last words of this gospel, will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And that salvation is not just at the end of time. It's the salvation of today.
Right.
When we're in a world that we don't know what truth is, where we don't know where to go, the salvation is always Jesus Christ in the present moment. So just remember that, Jesus Christ in the present moment. Open ourselves to listen. At the end, it concludes, it says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. If our hearts are in tune with the gospel, in tune with the voice of the Good Shepherd, we will have life and we'll have it abundantly, because the Word of God takes us to many, many places that we don't even know where we're going. But once we go, we're filled with life. So God bless all of you today, and listen to the voice of Jesus in every circumstance, especially in the depths of your heart, this week, and you'll find that life that you're looking for.
We thank you for your reflection and your words and sharing your experience with those young people at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. That is it for Our Shepherd's View this week. We thank you for listening. God bless.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.